Today on Real Radio.
We've got to hold forth the word. We've got to be true to the word in these last days. We've got to see who we really are. I know we've had bad days. I know we have bad years. I know we've had bad lives. But the Holy Spirit dwells within you. You are a child of the living God, and you are the light of the world. You are the one parked upon the rock that holds forth the light out into a world that is marinating along to a Christless eternity, and you're the one, and I'm the one with the message.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. As we read the writing of young Timothy's mentor here, we quickly learn the importance of maintaining truth as found in Scripture, including that of the divinity of God the Son. Well, did you know that toward the end of chapter 3, we find the words of a hymn sung in the first century that affirms what's called the mystery of God being made flesh to live with us here on planet Earth? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in this look at 1 Timothy 3 in verses 14 through 16. It's called The Mystery of Godliness.
The church stands as a beacon of those spreading forth the word of whom? You and me. You and I, the called out ones, the assembled ones. And I love this. I like to see it like this. We're the called out ones. We're the sons of the Most High. And wherever we go, we are the church. In my mind's eye, you drive by this place and it might be dark. Nobody's here. But these little lighted ones pull up in cars and their little lights beaming as God sees it. And you guys fill this place up. It is the glory of the Lord in our lives. We are the temples of God. Is this a church? Yes. It's a structure. What? It houses the people of God. And I just enjoy that to think where we go, we're little light bulbs for God. We are the church. We are the church. We are the ecclesia, the church. And he goes on to say, of the living God. In Ephesians 2:22, Paul says, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. God lives in you if you're born again. That doesn't make you a God. It makes you his child. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? When you're at work, when you're grinding on that mill or purchasing that object or closing that deal, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. You are the witness of the living God. You are the living church, breathing and moving, an organism alive, not an address. Jesus says in John chapter 14, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper or comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, who the world does not know. It doesn't see him, it doesn't know him, but he says, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Isn't that awesome? I tell you what, right now, you do not have a self-esteem problem if you understand John 14, 16 at all. We can come from all kinds of backgrounds. We're all different colors. We've all different financial status, different nationalities. Forget it. In Christ, we're all one. There's no bond or free man, male, female, the Bible says, but we're one in Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be awesome if churches began to live like that? Joe's Baptist Church down the street, Mike's Methodist, and Louis Lutheran Church down the street, you know. Hey, Calvary Chapel, we're one in Christ. We've got some peripheral understandings. That's okay. Aren't we big enough to handle that? We've got to grow up. There are those in Calvary Chapel. There are those in the Methodist Church, in the Lutheran Church, in all Bible-believing churches that are true believers. Going to Calvary Chapel or Chino Hills Baptist doesn't make you a Christian. It's what's in your heart. Does the Holy Spirit live in you? You can know that today if you don't. You can know it for a certainty. And then he goes on to say that the church is the church of the living God. It is the pillar, the stoulos in the Greek, the holder, the riser, the displayer. The displayer of what? What do you need a pillar for? Hang on. People, in Ephesus, there were 127 pillars to the temple Diana. 127 huge marble and gold pillars that were sent to the goddess Diana there at the temple in Ephesus from 127 different kings of different kingdoms throughout the world to worship Diana. When Paul told Timothy, and when Timothy read this to the church there at Ephesus, get this, he says, you're the pillar. And they went, you mean we're the pillar? Because, baby, when they heard pillar, they knew what a pillar was, this beautiful column. And they said, you mean we are? The Holy Spirit, speaking through Paul, says, we're the pillar. And it blessed their hearts. We may ski right over this one. Let me tell you, the Ephesian Christian, when they read that, their hearts welled up with joy inside. Praise God. They looked at each other, maybe torn rags or maybe blessed financially, all coming together as one. Hey, we're the pillar, man. We're something. And we're not some pillar of some cockamamie goofball pagan worship system. We're the pillar of the living God, the church, eternal to be in heaven in praises and glory. I tell you, you know, we need to remember this. This pillar, people, the word stoulos, to lift up, to be a riser of what? A riser of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a heavy responsibility? God is using the church and the world to lift Jesus up to mankind. If that doesn't spawn your heart to good works, if that doesn't prick your heart to be involved in missions and in prayer, then nothing will. You're it. Tag. God has called you to be a pillar. Isn't that beautiful news? That's the second feature of the house of God. The third, the ground. Look what he says. The ground of truth. That word ground means foundation laid. The foundation laid, or the bulwark, or the mainstay. The mainstay, Jesus says. This verse to me, you may get tired of this verse. I never get tired of this verse. Jesus says in Matthew 16:18, I say unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock, what rock? The preceding verse. Thou art the Christ, Jesus. God, he says, upon that rock I will build my church. And I like to say, whose church? Jesus says, mine. And I said, good, take it then, fix it. It's yours. And he goes, that's right. I gave my blood for it, it's mine. It's blood bought. And by the way, Jack, and by the way, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, the gates of hell will not, Jesus says, prevail against the church. Why? It's his. Well, why? It's the pillar. Why? It's the ground of truth. Well, why? It's the church of the living God. So, God has established it. It's his work. He will never forsake his work. Didn't Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world? Well, you know what? Who else is the light of the world? The Bible says Jesus is. God dwells within his people. The church is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. It's a beautiful, heavy responsibility. If I could paint you the picture, and this is what Paul meant when he said, I want you to know this, how you ought to conduct yourself. And he pulls out this chart and drops this picture of a raging sea. Now get this in your head. A raging ocean, and on that ocean, jutting out is this tremendous cliff, this rock. And on top of that rock, the earth, on top of that firm shore, is a foundation that's been laid. Okay? On top of that foundation is a pillar rising up. On top of that pillar is a beacon that shines out to sea in the tempest, in the storms, and in the fog, saying, I've got a message. Steer this way. Steer that way. It's a lighthouse. The church is a lighthouse, and it's built upon the rock. Upon that rock, you don't, listen, when you're building a house, you don't truck in rock to put on top of your rock. You find the rock, the earth, and then you build your foundation. The church is built upon Christ, and from that comes the pillar. And from the top of the pillar, the riser, comes the light of the gospel. And that's to be our function. That's our mission. One writer put it this way, as long as the light is going forth, the structure has meaning. What good is a lighthouse on the shore if the light goes out? It's not only no good, but people will be coming by looking for it and not seeing it, and they will sail into disaster. Why? Because she isn't putting out her light. We've got to hold forth the word. We've got to be true to the word in these last days. We've got to see who we really are. I know we've had bad days. I know we have bad years. I know we've had bad lives. But the Holy Spirit dwells within you. You are a child of the living God, and you are the light of the world. You are the one parked upon the rock that holds forth the light out into a world that is marinating along to a Christless eternity, and you're the one, and I'm the one with the message. That's heavy stuff. I love it. Verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Hey, it simply means this, first of all. Without controversy, it means this, there is no dispute. There's a little bit of sarcasm in this, people. When Paul writes this, he says, hey, without controversy, no dispute, pal. There's nothing you can bring against this truth. Try as you may, there's nothing that you can concoct on earth or in hell that can come against this truth. I want to back up for a second and hopefully bring this to light. I mentioned earlier that Paul was talking about technical things, and it's almost as though in the emotion, Paul's going, you got to be the husband of one wife. You've got to be hospitable. You've got to, and he's going line by line by line. He goes to verse 13. He makes his statement in verse 13. He writes verse 14, these things I write, very technical, almost kind of dry in a way. Hey, Timothy, I'm coming. Hang on. But if I'm delayed, now look what happens. He's saying, I'm writing this so you know how to conduct yourself in the church. And all of a sudden, Paul's heart starts to take off. I hope you can sense this. He starts to write the church. Hey, wait a minute. He starts kind of getting with it. The church of the living God, the pillar, the foundation of the truth. And Paul is beginning to get extremely excited with this. He comes to verse 16 and he about goes nuts. He's about blessed. I'm telling you, he's crescendoing, and it's precious because he's kind of like not into it. And as he's writing, he mentions the church, and oh boy, I feel a worship coming on. Oh man. And he gets to verse 16. And by the way, you know, I can prove what I just said to you. Church history reveals to us that this verse 16 was one of the first Christian hymns that the church began to sing in fellowships. Isn't that neat? It's an act of worship. And here we go. I've been waiting to get to this verse. Without dispute, great is the mystery of godliness. What is it? The word mystery means a hidden truth. A hidden truth. Hidden from the prophets of old. Hidden from the world who will not turn to God. What is the hidden mystery? Is that God would come in the flesh to mankind. People, listen. You and I sit on this side of the cross, and it's no big deal so often to us. The mystery of godliness is that Jesus Christ would come in the flesh to the earth. God, who prior to this, read your Bibles, don't believe a word I'm about to say, was invisible. The Bible says that God was invisible before Christ came. That you could see his glory, his radiance, the form of his person, but you couldn't see him, the invisible God. Think on this. We have no problem understanding that the Holy Spirit's invisible. We can kind of handle that God the Father is not visible. But prior to the birth of Jesus Christ, Jesus was invisible. You could see his radiance. You could see his awesomeness. You could not see him face to face. Unless there was a theophanies performed in the Old Testament. Study this. God, the Bible says, was invisible. You could see his manifestation, but you could not behold him. Now listen, store that thought. The Bible says God was manifest in the flesh. People, he's speaking about Jesus. He's speaking about Jesus Christ. By the way, this verse right here undeniably makes the statement that Jesus preexisted, that he was eternal. Mark it. In John 17:5, it says, "And now," Jesus says, "O Father, glorify me. Glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had before you, or with you before the world was." Jesus is eternal. Preexistence, the eternal Son. Isaiah, listen, you got your pen ready? Next to this verse, 16, you ought to write these things. By the way, I think you ought to write all over your Bible. I really do. I think you ought to have little things. When God speaks to your heart, you ought to write in the footnotes. You hear a verse that blesses your heart, you need to put it next to that verse. You need to make your Bible personal. Mine's almost like a diary. I got all kinds of things in there, and it blesses me. You need to, what I call, rig your Bible. Get it rigged. So if you're taking notes, have a pen ready. And write this down, next to verse 16. Isaiah 9:6, speaking about the eternal Son. "For unto us a child is born." Okay, Joseph and Mary had a baby boy. Big deal. It is a big deal. "Unto us a child is born." Yes, and it goes on to say, "And a son is given." Look, when my little girls were born, I didn't say, "Oh, I've given a son," or "I've given a daughter." God was manifest in the flesh. That means Jesus came. A son was given by God the Father. Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." God is among you. Micah 5:2. "But you, O Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth unto me one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting." That word translated in the Hebrew is eternally. The eternal Son, never having a beginning, never having an ending. And then Hebrews 1:1, "God, who at various times in diverse manners spoke unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir over all things, through whom also he made the worlds." Jesus is the creator. Verse 3, Hebrews 1, "who being in the brightness of the Father's glory, the expressed image of his person." Jesus represented and showed forth the exact representation of God. Listen, God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ. It says they're justified in the Spirit. What does that mean? It simply means this: vindicated or proven to be true. Who qualified Jesus' statements? The Holy Spirit. Who qualified his life? The Holy Spirit. His death? The Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that it was the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. The Holy Spirit. Justified, vindicated by the Spirit. And then, people, to me, which is the highlight of this whole thing, seen by angels. That word seen in the Greek means to gaze upon, to study, to inspect, and I like this, to gawk. It also means to become wide-eyed, wide-eyed. The word seen is optonomy. It's where we get our word optometry. Wide-eyed. Listen to this. Wide-eyed by angels. The angels were wide-eyed. They gawked at him. I want to ask you this. When did they gawk at him? The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 6 that the angels are before God and they take their wings and they cover their face before God. Store that thought. Because people, do you know what's awesome? Do you know why Paul freaked out and began to bless the Lord? There is a manifestation, a revelation of God himself for the first time in eternity, taking the form of a human being. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. The angel said, the shadow of the Most High will ensconce you, and you will bear forth the Son. And I bet that angel went, you'll bear forth the Son. This is heavy stuff. He didn't say that to Mary, but he might have been thinking that. This is a big deal. And listen, I believe this. They gawked at him, gawked at by angels. When Mary was on that donkey and she went into that inn, and she began to have pains, the host of heaven was summoned to that woman's labor. The eternal realm began to move. She's going into labor. 911, get every angel down here. This is going to be awesome. We're going to gawk at him. And she, either being a good Jewish gal, she probably squatted on stools like Moses' mom did. They didn't lay down. She probably got down there, and I think those angels got down like this, man. I think they got all around, and they're going, he's coming. He's coming. Our eternal creator in flesh is going to be coming out of a woman made of the earth. They're going to gawk. We so glibly think of Jesus and his awesome holiness. Listen, the fact of the matter is, people, that angels gawked at him. When? When he came. When God was manifest in the flesh.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a look at 1 Timothy 3 in verses 14 through 16. It's a presentation called The Mystery of Godliness, speaking of the mind-boggling teaching of Messiah's divinity, and that he actually lived and walked in the Middle East some 2 millennia ago. We'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if Real Radio is making a difference in your life, we'd love to hear from you. Drop a line to Pastor Jack by either calling, clicking, or writing. You can visit us at realradioactive.org and just click where it says Send Us a Message. That's realradioactive.org. You can also call us if you'd like. Here's our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to do it the traditional way, here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.